all we're responsible for is how we show up, and we're responsible for our own healing. So if somebody hurts us, it's not up to them to show up and say, I'm sorry. It's not up to them to show changed behavior. It's up to us to decide, I forgive you, and I'm going to send you love, but you can no longer be in my life.
You are now entering the sacred sanctuary.
Welcome to the Sacred Sanctuary, where we explore healing, divine femininity, and self-love. I'm your host, Sharday. Today, we're going to dive into interpersonal relationships, whether that be familial, romantic, friendships, and how you can show up authentically in love without ego interference. First off, I want to shout out my host, my co-host for the day. That's going to be Kyrie, and that's Kyrie.mov on Instagram, the shooter. Make sure you check him out. But he is going to be my off-camera host, and we will be doing this kind of interview conversation style. So we have a few questions, and let's get into it. I'm so excited. I want to start off first by asking a question or posing a question. So have you ever thought of your relationships as a part of your soul's journey to true self-discovery? For me, with all that I have learned thus far, my experiences, the teachings, as well as just kind of going within in meditation and counseling, you know, or seeking counsel from my higher self, I've always just had this idea that we are life being lived. And I'm not the first to say that, but I resonate with this so much. So even this meat suit that we have, our bodies, like all of this is just obviously temporary. We truly are, us and our full divinity, it can't be created or destroyed because we are one with the creator. And I think that, or I like to think that once this is said and done and this body leaves the 3D plane and our souls get to go back home, I feel like we all just kind of look at each other and like, that was a crazy ass ride. Let's do it again. Like almost like a roller coaster. Like life is like a roller coaster, and you have those ups, those downs, those peaks, those pits. Like you have all of these things intertwined into one, and it literally goes by like this. So that's the way I like to look at life. And then I'm tying it into relationships, because when we start to look at ourselves and our true selves authentically, and we realize that this is literally just an experience, then we can kind of stop taking things so personally, especially relationships and what happens in them. I feel like when we start looking at relationships as a form of self-growth, as true self-discovery, and a way that we can show up to truly and authentically be ourselves, then we don't take it so personal what anybody says, does, or how they behave, because we ultimately know that this is getting me closer to the person that I'm fully meant to be. So with that being said, I am going to give it over to you, Kyrie.
Okay, so what do you feel like you add to relationships, and how do you show up for them authentically?
Good question. I think for me, in all of my relationships, I value loyalty, and I value integrity, and I value just full authenticity. So saying that, I don't have a lot of relationships that I feel like I am super close or tight-knit with people. There are a few. I have my tribe where it's a few of us. But I'm not the person that has all these people that I say, this is my friend, or this is, you know, I just don't. Because my values are different. The standard I hold myself to, I would love to exceed that in other people, but it doesn't always translate that way. And I don't always get that in relationships. So for me, how I show up is I show up with those values. I try to remain as authentic as I can and be in my truth, have integrity. And once I'm with you, I'm with you for life. Like that's my mindset. And you would have to really do something to me to make me look at you sideways to the point where it's like, okay, you ain't even have to do me like that. You didn't have to do that. But I also can see that you might be dealing with some stuff that's going on within you that has nothing to do with me. But a part of me and holding true to my integrity is I can no longer have you in my life, or I can no longer be a part of your life just because a boundary was crossed, or you treated me, or you didn't value me, or you didn't show up authentically, or you weren't loyal. So those are things that I look at. So I'm looking at it in the way of I give what I want to receive, but then I also probably give a little bit more in relationships. Right. Does that make sense?
Yeah, gotcha. So how do you think the hierarchy in a household plays a part in how you show up?
I'm pretty sure a lot of us grew up in a home where, you know, it's always said that the man, like let's say your mom is cooking dinner for the family and she, you know, her husband or your dad or whoever, you know, whatever man is in the household, he gets the plate first and then the kids eat and then, you know, she kind of goes last. And that was like the structure of my household growing up, right? That's what I saw. That's the dynamic that I thought was, okay, this is how it's supposed to be. Because, you know, if we look back, most of the time women were housewives, or they were nurturing the family, they were taking care of the kids, taking care of the household or domestic duties, and the husband or the father was the one bringing home the bacon, and it just looked like that, right? So I think now, from my experience and the things that I've learned and what I've witnessed, I agree to an extent. The extent that I don't agree with that is the woman putting herself last. Because I feel like, and we're not even just talking about sitting at a dinner table and that dynamic. I feel like in general, the woman should put herself first. The husband should not go before her. The kids should not go before her. I think she should put herself first and tapping into her divinity within. So God herself. And then from that cup that's overflowing with everything that she's given herself, then she has room and space to give to the man, to give to the children. Because if we do it the opposite way, then this is where you see the burnout. You see women going through postpartum depression. You see women not feeling fulfilled in their relationships or not feeling fulfilled being a mom, or they feel like, oh, I have to get away, or I need to do some self-care, or I need some time away. And it's because we're not giving to ourselves. We're so busy filling everybody's cup around us that we're not filling our own cups. And so I think that the hierarchy, not to say that the man is above the woman or the woman is above the man. I just think that if you're taking care of a household, then you should come first. It just makes sense. And I feel like anybody who disagrees with that is just like you're telling somebody to give you something that they're not even giving themselves. And that's going to cause resentment and bitterness down the line. And that, how can that ever bring peace and happiness in a household, in a family structure? So that's my take.
How have relationships made you grow?
Ooh. Relationships are the key catalyst in my growth, I feel. I feel like relationships show us who we are, and in the best ways and in the worst ways. But I believe that true loving relationships, right? They hold up a mirror. And when you can look in the mirror and see yourself in all of the facets that make you you, then it's like, then you can kind of have that internal dialogue within yourself. Like, okay, if I like something, okay, good. I like seeing this. Let me nurture this. Let me put this at the forefront. This is one of my strengths. But if there's something that you don't like, then it's like, ooh, I need to work on this. I don't like the way I'm showing up right now. I need to grow. Or what wound is being triggered in me right now to, you know, get my attention? What do I need to bring my attention to? So for me, relationships have done an amazing job of catalyzing growth within me, because I feel like without pain, I don't even think that I would be the woman that I am today. I think pain is a necessary part of life. Pain is how we really truly discover that we are not the body, we are not the mind, we are not the ego, we are the soul, and we are life being lived. And I think once you start going through that pain and then you go to those realizations, and it's like, aha, like now I can fully operate more authentically, because the person that I thought I was is kind of null and void. But who I truly am at my core, at the essence, my divinity, like, that can't be created or destroyed. This is just literally a glimpse and a part of who I am, not even who I am.
How do you define an authentic relationship?
I think authentic relationships are relationships where individuals are showing up as their full selves, not as a representative, not having to, you know, do anything. Let me pause. I think that when we show up in relationships and we have to do anything to make us feel like if I do this, then I'll get this. Like, you shouldn't have to go to a relationship looking for anything, whether that be love, whether that be affection, whether that be attention, whether that be reassurance, whether that be validation, because we're supposed to, not to say that we do, but we're supposed to fill our own cups and have all of that within. That is embodying wholeness from within. So I think that once we can and we do show up embodying that wholeness within, then we can show up authentically in our interpersonal relationships, because then we're not looking for anything from anyone, because we already feel fulfilled. So then all we're giving is love, and it's unconditional love. We're not expecting anything in return. So when we can show up like that, then that's authentic, and you allow people to truly and authentically be themselves without judgment or without putting your expectations on them, expecting them to fulfill something that they didn't even sign up for. So, yeah.
How have that helped you see yourself more clearly?
So I think I touched on this a tad bit in that first question, so I won't go too much in depth into it. But the best relationships in our lives, the ones that I feel like really tug at our soul and really get us into alignment with who we're meant to be, are going to be those relationships that are tough, those relationships that show us who we are. So it's not to say that all of the relationship experiences that we've had were for nothing. Even if you had a relationship and you identified it as being toxic, it's not really toxic. It's really just showing you places within you that you may not be loving yourself, or you may not feel like you're worthy. Because let's just give a toxic example. You're with somebody and they're, you know, treating you poorly. They're talking to you crazy. They're emotionally abusing you. If you had the boundaries and if you had the self-love and the self-worth within, you would never allow that treatment. So is it their fault that they're triggering this within you? Or is it your responsibility now to own up and take yourself accountable for the parts of you that you need to heal? See, when we start looking at relationships as mirrors, as triggers for our growth, then we stop taking what people do personally and we start shifting that and looking within ourselves. Because that awareness is what brings us closer to who we are authentically, and it brings us closer to healing. So if we start looking at the mirror as a checklist as to where you are in your growth, then you will have the most fulfilling and happy relationships, because then you will no longer accept the things that you may have been accepting before, because you would have healed what you needed to heal. So you're no longer attracting those type of relationships or those type of dynamics. People are not going to play with you if your boundaries are set. So if you have a boundary, like, I'm not going to let somebody talk to me any type of way, and somebody does, then you immediately remove them from your life. And if they come back, then it's like, I know I can't play with her. I know I can't play with him like that.
How does having a lot in common make for a successful relationship?
That's an interesting question. Okay, here's my thing, right? I've had relationships where I've had a lot in common with the person. And it was good. It was like, okay, we think the same. We agree on most things. It's pretty easy. I think that the disconnect comes in where it's like, when you have so much in common and you agree on so many different elements in your relationship or just whatever, how are you growing? Because, hear me out. So I personally think that relationships where you're opposite work better, because I'm very free, like liberal, free in the way I think. I'm open-minded, I'm broad, I'm more spiritual. Like, I look at things, I focus on, you know, manifesting and magnetizing things into my life, and my partner is more analytical, more logical, not really spiritual, very balanced in the way that he thinks and what he does. I never can say this word. Methodical? Is it methodical? Okay, I think it's methodical. Very methodical in the way he approaches things. So in that example, that is two completely, it's just contrast, right? But when you look at it, when you're coming together, it balances, right? Because what I may lack, he makes up for. And what he lacks, I make up for. So then, therefore, you're creating that duality, I guess, that divine feminine, that divine masculine energy, and you're putting it together. And now it's a whole picture, because now it's not lopsided, where if we are the same, then both of us are missing this whole other part of the spectrum. And that could be good, that could be bad. But I feel like when you're opposite and you can kind of counter each other's strengths and weaknesses, then it makes for a more whole, fulfilling relationship, especially if you're going to do business together and if you're going to grow. And I don't want to be in a relationship where we're not doing something to grow. So it has to be that for me. Like, you have to, like, be strong where I'm weak, and I have to be strong where you're weak. So it makes sense. And even when it comes to me, like, and this is going to go off on a tangent, right? But even when it comes to relationships where you'll see a lot of people asking the question, you know, what do you bring to the table, or what value do you add to someone's life? And a lot of women I see, you know, well, I can cook, I can clean, all the domestic abilities, I'm peaceful, da, 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 da. Yeah, that's cool. But everybody might not want that at their table, you know? Somebody might not really care too much about you being peaceful, or they might not care too much about you being domestic. That might not be something that's up on their value prop, you know? So when you're able to go into a situation and you can look at what's needed, like, I can look at you and I can see where you lack, and I see that that's where I'm strong. So I'm going to come in and I'm going to apply my expertise, my skill, and I'm going to make up in that area, because I know that that's something that you need. So I have the ability to assess what's needed in the situation. You know what I mean? And I think that when you can go in and you can look at that, and you can determine, like, hey, I can add a lot of value to this table here. Or you might look at a situation like, there's nothing that I can really provide and show up and still show up authentically. So this is probably not the best table for me.
What would you gravitate more towards? A similarity in character or a similarity in core values?
Core values all day. Core values all day. Because, oh, that's a good question. Because if I value loyalty, family, integrity, and your values are not the same, our foundation will never be strong. I think that you can have differences all across the board, but if your core values are not aligned, you won't make it, because you're not looking at things the same. So, you know, you might look at something like, oh, that's not a big deal. Like, I don't have to show up for little Timmy's, you know, violin recital. But that might be because you value work over family. You know what I mean? And that might not be something that I'm okay with. So you kind of have to have those conversations early on and see, what is it that I want most? Like, what's going to be important to me? Like, when I'm looking to create a family dynamic, when I'm looking to create a life, build business, like, what is going to be most important to me? And those values have to align. I think everything else can be compromised or negotiated, but values should be super, super firm. Like, no. You know what I mean?
No,
yeah.
Okay, so how do you think your friendships with women have influenced your relationships in the past?
So, I am very... I was about to say stubborn. I don't want to say stubborn. But I am a true individual. So I said that to say, there's not a lot that a person can come to me to say to sway my mindset or the way I think or the way I feel. Like, if I'm feeling something, or if I've made a decision to be in a relationship, or if I've made a decision to forgive or whatever have you, maybe I'll go to my girlfriends and I'll have conversations about situations just to kind of get their input. And sometimes most of the time I already know what they're going to say, or I know what the answer should be, or I know what I should do because I've already had the conversation with them. I think I would go to my friends more so just as confirmation for what I've been feeling. But I don't really allow my friends to dictate my movements in relationship. And if I do, and if it seems like that, it's probably because I've already made the decision within myself. I mean, I don't really call a lot of women friends. Not the ones that I do call my friends are like my soul tribe, like my soul sisters. And there is this divine connection that I feel with them, and it's just up and stuck about them for life. But I have had a lot of experiences with women in the past, and I think for me, just, I don't know, maybe it's a trust thing. And I had to kind of have this, I had this question for myself, not even to anybody else. Like, I asked myself this question, like, why is it that I don't have a large group of friends? And I had to really just kind of sit with that. And then it went back to childhood, because I'm really on this deep healing journey, and it takes a lot of, and it requires or involves a lot of exploration, especially within the past. And I know growing up, like, I didn't really have good experiences with girls. Like, I mean, girls used to be mean. I would get picked on. Like, my experience was that, you know, women were catty, and they were, this girls, because this, I'm obviously a kid at this point. So girls were catty, or they would smile in your face and talk about you behind your back. And there was just this inauthenticity, or there's jealousy or whatever. And maybe I didn't view it as jealousy then, just because I just was a child. I was unaware. I'm just like, well, why don't they like me? And I think I kind of just carried this subconsciously throughout adulthood, just from adolescence to adulthood. And I never really understood why I would isolate so much. And I finally got to the place where I realized it's because I didn't really trust other women, not even just other women, just people in general, but I really didn't trust other women just because of my experience as a child and what I had to go through and dealing with those slights and the betrayals that I had from friendship. So it was like a trust thing. So when I felt myself getting into an energy where it didn't feel good, or it didn't feel authentic, or I can literally feel somebody's energy shift when they're around me, then that would just kind of make me isolate for protection, or isolate, or kind of go with withdrawal and go into my shell because I didn't feel safe. And so I know that kind of goes all the way in.
How do you know if someone's right for you?
In a relationship?
Yeah, in a relationship.
I think that is definitely going to start with those core values aligning. And then I think it's just a feeling, right? I think when you're with someone and it feels natural and it feels like home and it feels like you can just be yourself with them and you don't really question anything. It's like sometimes I think we just kind of start looking at a checklist, like, oh, do they have this? Do they have that? And I'm like, kind of put that to the side. It's like, how does this person make you feel? Does this person make you feel love and peace? Or do they make you feel anxious? Do they make you feel like you need to run for the damn hills? Like, are they activating your nervous system in a certain type of way? And that can also, you know, be a trigger for healing. But overall, in general, if there's not a trigger coming up, how do I feel with you? Like, how do I feel with you? How can we grow together? And for me, I'm not just a person where I want to be in a relationship and I'm going to let the man do everything. That's just never been my personality. I've always been like, what can I do? But that's how I show up in my own life. So if I can't come into a relationship and we can create, and I can't provide, you know, my experiences, you know, my assets, my knowledge, my creativity. If I can't do that from my feminine place, then it doesn't really align for me, and it doesn't really hold longevity because I'm not being authentic. You know, I need to be able to show up and be able to add to a situation, and not from a place of doership, but from a place of being like, this is who I naturally am. I know that I'm an alchemist. Like, I'm going to take base metal and I'm going to turn it into gold. So what are you bringing to the table that I can take that you might not have seen and help turn it into gold? And how can we do that together? So it all kind of encapsulates the values, the vision, and then the relationship coming together in one. That's what I'm looking at long term.
Right. So with all that said, what advice would you give to your listeners that struggle with similar situations or fears?
So
and it might, you know, and it might not necessarily have to be a struggle, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I get that. I think that the most important thing in relationships is going to first and foremost be the relationship we have with ourselves. Once we nurture the relationship we have with ourselves, then all of our other relationships will show up more fluid for us, if that makes sense. I don't know if fluid is the right word that I want to use. But everything will kind of just tie in. I mean, you'll have healthier, happier, more consistent relationships, more authentic relationships because you're showing up authentically. And this also comes from that place of divinity where as within, so without. So if your inner world is full and complete and you feel whole and you feel love and that's the way you're showing up, then that's what you're going to attract. Like, those are the type of relationships you're going to attract. Those are the type of people that you're going to attract. It's just going to be a full embodiment of who you are and how you identify with yourself. So I would definitely say focus on the relationship that you have within you. Even as a wife, a mom, you have to show up for yourself first. Like, if you're showing up for yourself, and don't think that you being selfish in showing up for yourself first before your kids, before your husband, before anybody for that matter, before your mom, before your dad, for your grandmother. Like, you have to show up for yourself first. And it's not coming from a place of selfishness. It's coming from a place of love. Coming from a place of love and authenticity and divinity, like, you will be able to show up better in those relationships. And then you'll also see as a result that the people in your lives, they're going to show up better for you just because they're a representation of the energy that you're giving. So focus on cultivating the relationship with you. Heal whatever you need to heal for you. But by all means, put yourself first. And that probably goes against what a lot of people say, like, oh, you have to do this when you get married. You forget. No, never forget yourself. Because forgetting yourself is what leads to the burnout. Forgetting yourself is what leads to the bitterness and the resentment. And that's just not something that we're signing up for anymore. Like, you loving yourself first is not taking away from anybody else.
Right.
Absolutely. And two is like, when you think about the relationships in your life, and I like to call them divine relationships because these are the relationships that get you flowing. When you think about these relationships, think about these are the relationships that your soul chose before being incarnated here on this planet. So the ones that provoke you, the ones that push you, the ones that you feel like I can't get away from this, the ones that you just feel so much love and just bliss and joy, those are the ones that your soul chose. So some of those are going to be able to fill you up, and some of them are going to be able to help you grow. And if we start looking at these as growth opportunities in all relationships, then we stop judging and condemning in others what they're showing us within ourselves. So that is how you can operate from a place of authenticity, because then it's like, I'm no longer putting the blame on what a person does to me or says to me or the way a person treats me. I'm going to take all of that. I'm going to look at myself and I'm going to see what's within me that I need to heal and to bring my awareness to, so I don't have that experience anymore, because they're only operating from a place of what they know. And obviously we're all mirrors to each other. So if instead of you reacting or, you know, getting angry with someone for what they do, just give them love. And as hard as it may be in some situations, just give them love. And I know some people like, well, I can't do that because such and such did this. And it's like, yeah, I get it. But just give them love and go work on yourself.
So when's a good time to forgive? And does someone have to initiate that? Or is that something that you kind of off of just observation?
So I believe that forgiveness is for us. Like, we have to forgive for ourselves, not for the other person. It's not for the other person. And I know the other person may want to feel some type of justification or some type of release, you know, from their behavior, from your forgiveness. But that's not really what forgiveness is for. We have to forgive because when we hold on to what people do to us or how they've made us feel, then we're creating karma in our lives, right? We're always creating karma, but we're creating an internal karma that is going to continue looping until we forgive. That is why forgiveness is for us. So if, let's say, and I don't want to give a brash example, but let's just say your boyfriend cheated on you. And instead of forgiving him, you hold this resentment, you have this bitterness, you go out and you condemn all men because now all men are cheaters. And you literally have all of this emotion built up within, resonating within yourselves. What happens by way of karma and by way of law of attraction is when you're holding on to that, that's the experience that you're continuously creating. And even if you don't go back to that person, you're still going to meet people that's going to recreate that emotion, that's going to recreate that feeling, that's probably going to do the same exact thing, because it's not the cheating that's hurt. It was your not feeling validated. It was your not feeling loved, or you not feeling worthy of having someone commit to you. So whatever it brings up within you, you have to heal it right then and there. And you heal by first being aware that you need to heal, and then you forgive the people who hurt you or slighted you. And then I thank them, because when you thank people for what they've done, they've shown you a part of you that you needed to address. So if you don't forgive, then you are essentially making an agreement to continue having the same experience for the rest of your life until you decide to heal it. So forgiveness is going to play a big part in everything in your life, in every area, because what we're doing is just we only have the present moment. So we're constantly creating and looping in the present moment by the emotions and by the fears and by the pain that we're holding within ourselves. So the only way that we change our future is by changing ourselves, and that is by getting rid of the things that we no longer want resonating within us.
When you said, when you're saying that you forgive, I 100% agree with you. Mm-hmm. When it comes from within.
Mm-hmm.
So going back to observation and going back to initiation,
mm-hmm.
So a person doesn't have to initiate or prove to you that you need to forgive them for anything. It comes from within.
Yeah, no. Forgiveness has nothing to do with the other person. The other person doesn't have to say sorry. The other person can continue on with their life just as it is. Like, it has nothing to do with you, because that is something that they have to deal with. And when you realize that we're all creating karma, right? We're all, whatever we give our attention, our awareness to, and whatever we decide to engage our souls in, that is creating karma, that is attracting, that is magnetizing. So their choice is their choice. If they did something, they will have their karmic retribution for it. And that has nothing to do with you. And it's not even for you to wish on them, because you don't know what their journey is. You don't know what they have to go through. You don't know what they've been through to even show up like that. And then once, I feel like this, right? Forgiveness becomes easy when you start looking at people from an empathetic lens, right? You start looking at people and you wonder, damn, what did they have to go through to show up like that? What type of experience did they have in their life to make them feel like they have to show up like that? That, like, you know, when you start looking at it like that, then it's like, it becomes easier to forgive people. Even people who've done the most heinous things and these crimes that are just unfathomable to people who, like, if you don't have that experience, if you haven't walked in this person's shoes, if you haven't lived their life, if you haven't had the same experiences that they've had, then you can't judge them. You can't do any of that. And this is why they say, thou shalt not judge. Like, who are we to judge? If we look at it, we're all God expressing ourselves in our own right. So if somebody else can do that, then you also have to know that in those same circumstances, events, or conditions, you would probably do the same thing. But because you haven't had that experience, you won't make that choice. And this is all because of free will, right? But you can't judge somebody else for what they choose to do. You can not agree with it, but you can't judge them. And then who are you to even say, like, they need this or they need to do that or they need to be punished? Like, who are we to tell, like, to dictate what anybody has to experience in their life? We don't know what soul contracts they have. We don't know what experiences they have to learn from. We don't know any of that. All we're responsible for is how we show up, and we're responsible for our own healing. So if somebody hurts us, it's not up to them to show up and say, I'm sorry. It's not up to them to show changed behavior. It's up to us to decide, I forgive you and I'm going to send you love, but you can no longer be in my life. Right. You know what I mean? Right. It's up to us to have those boundaries. It's not up to them. I have this quote, and I was going to say this. It's this quote on one of my Instagram posts. It might be this one. Hold on. It says that mature love requires the presence of clearly marked exits, not barricades, not escape hatches, not walls, not hidden tunnels. Exits, well lit. So I take that to mean that regardless of who you think a person is to you, or what a person or who a person has been to you, at any given moment, that person has free will to decide they no longer want to be in your space. And as much as it may hurt and be painful, sometimes, you know, it's just what it calls for. We all have seasons. We all have seasons, right? So if we are clinging on and holding on to a person or a relationship or the idea of something, we're trying to take that person's freedom away or their autonomy, because we all can choose to be in relation with each other, right? So even in marriages, and I know this is probably one of the big things when people are so adverse to marriage, because it's all this, like, I got to go through all these hoops just to get away from you. It's kind of messed up to say, but if your season is over, if it's done, if you no longer feel like I want to be here, then you should be able to leave without having to go through a barricade, you know, without having to go through all of these hoops. Like, you should be able to do that. And I think that when we can love people unconditionally, that we don't put, then we allow them to leave in love. And it may hurt us, but we still have to understand that they're still their own person, you know? And so with this, I have to say that every relationship, you know, whether it lasts a season or a lifetime, it's a part of your soul's divine plan. So when something happens, just embrace it, relinquish the control and surrender to it. Because if it's meant to be, it will come back. And if it's not, then something better is coming. And when we live in the expectation that something better is always coming for us, then we stop holding and clinging on to things so tightly. So the major takeaway, I believe, in this episode is just going to be that first and foremost, you have to show up for yourself. You have to love yourself. You have to be the love of your life. And when you operate from this place, then all of your other relationships will be love relationships. Love relationships that don't boast judgment, that don't have ego and pride showing up in them, because you just allow people to be who they authentically are. And if it resonates and it aligns with who you are, then you can coexist. And if it doesn't, then you have no problem allowing people to leave without putting up barricades or having them go through tunnels. Like, the exits are well lit. And that goes for anybody in your life. And it doesn't matter what relational dynamic they play or what role they play in your life, have the exits well lit. Because when somebody decides they want to go, then the freedom and the free will and their autonomy should be respected. And whatever we feel within us, whether it's loneliness from that loss, or whether we feel resentment or bitterness, or whether we feel kind of slighted, it's up to us to deal with that. It's not up to someone else to come in and deal with what we need to deal with within ourselves. And I feel like on this road to transformation, when we're focusing on healing and divinity and self-love, sometimes we need help. And I know that we have all of this within us and all the answers are within us, but there are times that it's hard to kind of dig through all of the stuff that has accumulated within our psyche and within our bodies over the years. So we do need that little extra push. So if you find yourself in that place where you do need that extra push to get to the next level, be sure to check out my book, The Master Manifestor. It's available on Amazon. It is also available on my website, www.becomethemastermanifestor.com. And in addition to the book, I also am coming out with a workbook, so that will definitely aid and help you in your healing and your manifesting journey. And if you feel like, hey, Sharday, that's good, and I like to read, but I need more one-on-one time, I have coaching plans available on my website. Book some time with me. We can talk. We can sit through it. We can come up with an action plan so we can help you transform and get to the next level. And with that being said, I thank you all so much for coming in today and joining us in the Sacred Sanctuary. Thank you to Kyrie for being my co-host today, my off-camera co-host. Those are some great questions. And until next time, I look forward to reconnecting and existing in this wonderful, beautiful space with you. Love and light.